Hi, everybody. We are continuing with our work in the rays and the initiations. And we are working on program number 3. We are speaking here of the mysteries, and we've been discussing masonry. Masonry as a great current representation, though in somewhat crystallized form, of the mysteries which will be restored. But DK does not want us to think that masonry is the only method of restoring the mysteries, and he says here, the mysteries will be restored in other ways also, for they contain much besides that which the Masonic rites can reveal, or that religious rituals and ceremonies can disclose. They contain within their teaching and formulas the key to the science which will unlock the mystery of electricity. And if anybody has studied cosmic fire, we realize how profound are DK's references to some of the aspects of the mystery of electricity. Obviously, it is presently beyond our ken in the way he is describing it. We know something of the most primitive forms of electricity, but in a way, the entire cosmic physical plane is a cosmic electrical phenomenon. So there is so much to learn along these lines. So the mystery of electricity will be revealed by the mysteries, capital M, and the masters have to be very careful about how they do this. There have been some investigators into these mysteries over the years. I think John Keeley was one, and, well, you know how these stories go, but they said he was making so much progress so rapidly in these matters that the powers that be had to kind of intervene and scramble his notes so that there would not be a complete revelation of some of the things that he had discovered, which obviously would have been dangerous for humanity. Anyway, unlock the mystery of the electricity, that mystery of which HPB spoke. It's one of the keys to the secret doctrine. Though much progress has already been made by science along this line, it is as yet only embryonic in nature, and only when the hierarchy is presently visible on Earth, you see, we have to see how dangerous this really is, and the mysteries of which the masters are the custodians are given openly to man, will the true secret and nature of electricity be revealed. So this is really the secret that involves the creation of form and the dissolution of form and the attraction and repulsion of all the various emanated beings to each other. It is, we can expect that during the Aquarian Age, which will be also a largely fifth ray age, this kind of work can be brought forward, especially I would think during the second decanate of the Age of Aquarius, when Mercury is the major ruler. It is the planet which speaks of the relations of all things to each other. The mysteries are in reality the true source of revelation. Okay. And it can be only, when the mind and the will to good are closely blended. This is the will to the creation of the archetype which God intends. The will to good are closely blended and conditioning human behavior that the extent of the coming revelation will be grasped. For only then can humanity be trusted with the secrets. Right now, humanity has the mind, perhaps. Perhaps. But the will to good, in a general sense, is not sufficiently developed. The will to good, in a general sense, is not yet sufficiently developed. These mysteries, they concern those capacities which enable the members of the hierarchy to work consciously with the energies of the planet and of the solar system and control forces within the planet. They will put the ordinary psychic powers, today so stupidly approached and so little understood, in their rightful place and guide man towards their helpful usage. So the mysteries, the revelation of the mysteries, are concerned also with the development of the cities in the human being, the powers, and especially the higher powers. So obviously there are some who have learned about this and know about this, but it cannot be sent out for general assimilation. The mysteries will restore color and music as they essentially are to the world. And now we remember the seventh purpose of Sanat Kumara and how his daily ritual orchestrates color and sound breaking upon the three worlds in a daily fashion. And this is said to be literally the case. Matter of fact, I think it might be, you know, for some of us who may not be familiar with that, I think it would be good to take a look at this. Color, sound, break. Okay. The final phase of the divine purpose is the most difficult of all to indicate. And when I say indicate, I mean exactly that and nothing more definite and clear. And here is the amazing statement which will relate to what we're just discussing. Does it mean anything to you when I say that the ceremonial ritual of the daily life of Sanat Kumara, implemented by music and sound and carried on the waves of color which break upon the shores of the three worlds of human evolution, reveal in the clearest notes and tones and shades the deepest secret behind his purpose? It scarcely makes sense to you and is dismissed as a piece of symbolic writing used by me in order to convey the unconveyable. Yet I am not here writing in symbols, but am making an exact statement of fact. As beauty in any of its greater forms breaks upon the human consciousness, a dim sense is thereby conveyed of the ritual of Sanat Kumara's daily living. More I cannot say. Marvelous. So here we are talking about such mysteries, and let's just say reference page 246 and 247. I'll just, mysteries of color and music, and I will just say this, reference R and I, 246 and 247. Okay, the mysteries will restore color and music as they essentially are, and that means in the eyes of the Lord of the world, as they essentially are to the world, and will do it in such a manner that the creative art of today will be to this new creative art what a child's building of wooden blocks is to a great cathedral such as Durham or Milan. Amazing. and look at the span covered by that analogy, a child's building blocks and the great cathedral. The mysteries, when restored, will make real, in a sense incomprehensible to you at present, the nature of religion, the purpose of science, you know, Ray 6, Ray 2, Ray 5, the goal of education, Ray 3, Ray 2. These are not what you think today. So we have to accept the veiled condition of our consciousness. It is veiled, and of course our attempt is to see using that consciousness, and naturally what we do see must presently be veiled compared to the truth which is to be revealed. This is meant to stimulate, remember, that great zeal about which D.K. talk, stimulate our aspiration, our anticipation, our will, and our willingness to persist in our studies and in the application of all that we learn, and to persist in the dissemination of the ageless wisdom to all who can possibly benefit from it. The ground is being prepared at this time for this great restoration, the restoration of the mysteries. Ah, yes. Whoop. The churches and masonry are today before the judgment seat of humanity's critical mind, and the word has gone forth from the mass mind that both of them failed in their divinely assigned tasks. You know, what does he mean by this? Perhaps the Great War need not have precipitated as it did, had masonry and the church performed their tasks better. It is realized everywhere that a new life must be poured in and great changes wrought in the awareness and in the training of those who work through and in these two media of truth. Yes, I have been now a Mason 40 years this year in Scorpio of 1974. And I've been in three Masonic movements, and also, you know, conducted choirs in quite a number of churches. So I've had experience with both of these two media of truth, and I can say, at least in the early days of Masonry, that many participating in them liked very much the rituals and the general seriousness and solemnity of the rites, but had no idea of the occult methods being used, or at least the implications, the occult spiritual implications behind all that they were performing, without great depth of understanding. Co-Masonry was an improvement, and then the recent efforts of AUM over the last 25 years, Ancient Universal Mysteries, have really brought depth into the idea of Masonic Reformation. And if the positive trends continue there, a path will be created for the true Reformation of Masonry. As for the church, well, it is a little more available to humanity and closer to human understanding. There's been a lot of repetition of the same old dogma and approach, but there are also those promoting esoteric Christianity and a deeper, more loving, humanistic understanding of the Gospels. So Reformation is underway there as well. Recently, in the last 50 years, let's say, we've had a couple of the popes of the Catholic Church who have tried to advance this process. And maybe it's too early to tell, but the most recent of the popes seems well on his way to bringing forward a type of a house cleaning and reformation. So the process is in the works, and the trend is correct. There's also the reactionary backlash, naturally, in much of fearful society, because, you know, that kind of, I won't call it conservatism, it's not conservatism really, it's reactionary response. It is based on fear and trying to cling to the security of the bad old ways. Anyway, the battle is going on right within these two media of truth, very important media. These changes have not yet been carried out. Remember, this was written in the 1940s, where we'll take a new vision and a new approach to life experience. And only the coming generation is capable of giving. And what do we mean by that generation? Just 20 or 25 years? Or do we mean a whole group of spiritually minded people coming in over several biological generations. They and they alone can bring about the needed alterations and revitalization, but it can and will be done, and we're in the midst of seeing it done to a significant extent. And then from the old commentary, Solomon, beautiful words, that which is a mystery shall no longer be so, and that which has been veiled will now be revealed, no longer through a glass darkly, as St. Paul told us. That which has been withdrawn in the early days, following the war in Atlantis, will emerge into the light, and all men shall see, and together they shall rejoice. So much has prevented the happiness of humanity recently, the great karmic suffering in these latter days of the age of Pisces, a very karmic sign. That time will come when desolation has wrought its beneficent work. We've been deprived of so many things. They've been taken from us, and we've seen that we no longer really need them to live the truly human spiritual life. When all things have been destroyed, and men through suffering have sought to be impressed by that which they had discarded, in vain pursuit of that which was near at hand and easy of attainment, the great spiritual values of that which man once possessed and then discarded, no longer pursued, will be appreciated once again. And that which was near at hand, which was the product of the senses and of material perception, will be seen as relatively valueless compared to that which had been discarded. Possessed, it proved to be an agency of death, yet men sought life and not death. So our values will be readjusted, and we will see and understand a better way of life based upon true spiritual values. Let me read this without interruption of commentary. That which is a mystery shall no longer be so, and that which has been veiled will now be revealed. That which has been withdrawn will emerge into the light, and all men shall see, and together they shall rejoice. That time will come when desolation has wrought its beneficent work, when all things have been destroyed, and men through suffering have sought to be impressed by that which they had discarded, in vain pursuit of that which was near at hand and easy of attainment. Possessed, it proved to be an agency of death, yet men sought life, not death. Death of consciousness, obviously. And notice it's all humanity together rejoicing. It's a great and common realization. And, that which is of great value is not easy of attainment. That we have to realize. And we have to be willing to spend the energies of our life in the pursuit of that which is not easy of attainment. And so may it be when our sense of values is rightly adjusted. So runs the old commentary when referring to the present cycle through which mankind is passing. It suggests here that the old commentary relates to the entire history and future of humanity, and that much is previsioned and perhaps predestined, not in detail necessarily, but in terms of the appearance of certain energies, an appearance which we cannot avoid, though we can determine how we will respond to them. So much of beauty is coming. DK speaks of the restoration of the mysteries and how we will live through this period of desolation, certainly after World War I, a great period of desolation for many occurred, well, even during the war as well, and they seem to have lost everything and had to rebuild their lives. Maybe the sense of values was changed to that. And we're living through a period now in the last 11 years of the forerunner, when the opportunity, shall I call it an opportunity? I will, for desolation is again upon us. There's such a conflict of ideologies and religious perspectives, the ontological perspectives, you know, what is reality, the primitive combat with the deeper understanding of the nature of human life. These things will have to be fought out. The tests for the first initiation, as far as humanity, the world disciple is concerned, and I guess maybe we're the world probationary disciple in a sense, are well nigh over. And the hour of the birth of the Christ, as an expression of the fourth kingdom in nature, and the consummation of the work of the fourth creative hierarchy, is at hand. Interesting that this fourth creative hierarchy, the fourth creative hierarchy, is focused on the Buddhic plane. And so the plane on which the Christ consciousness, I'm not getting that, Christ consciousness expresses. So out of the four, the Christ consciousness arises, representing really the fifth kingdom of nature, but the consummation of the work of the fourth creative hierarchy. And focus on these words, well nigh. Well, maybe from the master's perspective, written at the end of the war. Remember, we were told that this was written from 1946 to 1949. Now, also, D.K. warned us following the war that we may well have swept our house clean, but could be in worse trouble later when the devils return, if we are not careful. And in many ways, the devils have returned, and he also warned us about the grim possibility of having to start the entire human experiment over again if certain things were not accomplished within 25 years from the time he wrote. And one could well question whether they have been accomplished. Of course, can one hope for an intervention such as came from the Lords of Liberation during the latter part of 1942, before the sun moved northward? The hierarchy were packing their bags, so to speak, and felt that humanity would go down to defeat. Are we facing that kind of possibility again? Well, maybe if this kind of program is still intact and you are listening to it beyond the year 2025, you will know what has happened. But right now, it's just speculation, and we have to follow the Tibetans' warnings, because they have been very earnestly spoken and written. Okay, there is no gainsaying. This, there is no gainsaying. Much has been accomplished, at least it was accomplished after the war, and the imminent reappearance of the Christ consciousness in humanity could be anticipated. The birth hour may be long, that is the labor, and the form may be in labor for much time. He uses the analogy, kind of the Virgo analogy, of the pains, birth pains, which we've all experienced in one incarnation or another. But the Christ will be born, and the nature of his consciousness will permeate and color all human affairs. It's amazing. Here is a man, the majority of whose incarnations have been oriental, he tells us, and in a male body. And here he numbers himself among the humblest of the friends of the Christ. And much is conveyed, of course, in that statement, because the friends of the Christ are noted especially by the quality of wisdom, when the term is used technically, even more than by their quality of love. It is this condition so imminent and so desirable and long foretold and anticipated which will make possible the return of the hierarchy and the restoration of the mysteries. So the coming of the Christ consciousness, we might say, or of a sufficient amount of it, coming of the Christ consciousness. Now that's causal. Well, it might be the same. Christ consciousness will make possible the return of the Christ and the externalization of the hierarchy and the restoration restoration of the mysteries. Okay, I'm going to use that one because I think we're going to be dealing with that term quite a bit. Restoration of the mysteries and, okay, I'll put it here. Excuse me. Okay, there we have it. The restoration of the mysteries. Okay. So we have to leaven human consciousness with as much of the anticipatory Christ consciousness as may be possible. Of course, when he comes, he will bring the real thing and condition humanity over a period of 2,000 years. But something of the Christ consciousness which will make possible the house cleaning within the church, the some degree of economic sharing, some degree of peace in the world, all of these appear when there is sufficient anticipation of the Christ consciousness in sufficient numbers of human beings. And then it will be possible, after those three goals are accomplished, that the Christ himself can reappear with the certain members of the spiritual hierarchy coming before him. It only makes sense because their power is not as great, and so we're building up to a tremendous revelation of power and consciousness, and it has to be done in phased stages. Humanity has to be exposed to this gradual increase of energy, which first the disciples and then the initiates and then the masters and then the Christ in that order can bring to humanity. That is the method of exposure. It's not that the Christ suddenly, with his immense power, can show up visibly on the world stage. We have to do our part, and for disciples and initiates, we are in that phase of the forerunner, which has been going on for about 60 years or so. It will be 60 years, I believe, in 2025, and the next 11 years are critical. Well, we'll be saying that year after year. The next 10 years are critical. The next 9 years are critical. And obviously, they are, because there is so much of an obstructive nature which is now surfacing. But under Pluto, that surfacing of all that obstructs is really a good thing. Rather than have it hidden, it can come into the sight of many, many human beings and be expiated, can be banished, can be ejected, cast out, and transformed. But first, of course, it must be recognized, and it's a horrible vision to see the way human beings are treating each other at this time and have been all throughout the warring centuries, the warring century, the 20th century, and now here in the beginning of the 21st century, we have horrible recrudescences of things which should long ago have been outlived. But they have not, and we might as well face the facts. There are many people today with the consciousness of the medieval mind, and not the especially enlightened medieval mind either. So we have to deal with that. Those who are in a position to understand more, having experienced the Enlightenment, the Age of Reason, the critique upon blind faith, they are in a position to do something if they will and if they will not hide. These occurrences are not only dependent upon the fitness of humanity to provide the right setting and upon the inevitability of evolutionary development itself, but upon the reappearance of the hierarchy and that which its members will accomplish is related also and primarily to the interior life and the spiritual impulses within the hierarchy itself and unrelated to mankind altogether. So really, hierarchy itself holds a great responsibility in the reappearance of the Christ and the restoration of the mysteries and the externalization of itself, the hierarchy. Yeah, but well, humanity must be fit. the preparation is going on above, and the preparation is going on below. And it is the reorientation of the interior life. So many human beings don't even realize there is an interior life. The Christ told us when he was with us that the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of heaven is within. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means something really quite technical, quite scientific, quite related to the teaching of the ageless wisdom. And this, of course, the Christ knew, and maybe some of his closest disciples knew, but this was presented in allegories and parables and analogies to the mass of human beings so that they could at least understand a little. So there is preparation going on in all quarters. We are only 11 years away from the time after which the Tibetan said he would begin to write again his third installment. Now, think of the tremendous clearing which took place as a result of World War I, which allowed him to enter during that interval between World War I and the Second World War to present the second phase of the teaching. I believe the clearing of the first phase of the Great War from 1914 to 1918 allowed the atmosphere to be such that the Tibetan could begin the second phase of his work, the first phase of his work having occurred with Madame Blavatsky. Now, are we up for another such clearing which will enable him to deliver the third and anticipated installment of this series of, as he says, bridging treatises between the present knowledge of humanity and the knowledge of hierarchy? The hierarchy pursues its own line of spiritual unfoldment. As a paralleling activity to its services on Earth in connection with planetary evolution, and let each disciple realize that as well for himself, we have our line of spiritual unfoldment even as we serve in the world, and so does hierarchy. Men are so apt to regard their own lives and destiny and the unfoldment of the human consciousness as the factor of only and paramount importance on Earth and in the evolutionary processes of the planet. Well, you know, it's very anthropocentric, wouldn't you say? anthropocentric, myopic. But we are self-centered group, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. DK tells us, shocked here to see, aha, yeah, okay, this is an auto saved. Use this. I'll make this capitalized, and then maybe I'll be able to do it. Yeah, replace existing file. Okay, right. The fourth ray, which is humanity's major ray, is extremely self-centered. DK tells us about this in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2. Volume 1 is one of the faults of the fourth ray, and we, as that intermediary group between the three kingdoms above and the three below, are rather self-centered. So we have to get over that. These conditions are of importance, yes, but they are not the only factor of importance, nor does humanity stand alone and isolated. So we have to understand our relations to the other kingdoms. And so far, except for occultists, we don't, although maybe our relations to the lower kingdoms are beginning to be understood by those, we call them humanitarian human beings who are interested in the care of animals and plants and even of minerals. Humanity occupies a midway point between the subhuman and the superhuman kingdoms. And each of these groups of evolving lives has its own important destiny. DK really works to decentralize us, doesn't he? And as every human being knows, on the spiritual path, decentralization is of vital importance. Okay, important to all contained within the group Ring Pasnot. They have their own chosen and differing modes, methods, and ways of achievement. Well, when we're talking about, minerals, vegetables, the vegetable kingdom, and the animal kingdom choosing, I guess we have to think about the great lives which inform them, or their inner nature as the monad. In their present condition as the lower kingdoms, they cannot choose, but something within them can. Something is chosen. Some higher agency chooses. Just as individual man has to learn the art or science of relationship to other men and to his environment, so humanity as a whole has to learn its relationship to that which lies above and beyond mankind and with that which is below and left behind. It tells you that we have been through the, we as monads, through the in-metallization, in-vegetalization, and in-zoonation of the monad, have been through the lower kingdoms, maybe not on this earth, maybe in other places within our local cosmos, but we have been through it. This involves a sense of proportion which can be attained only by the mind principled in man and by those who are beginning to be mentally polarized. Remember, full mental polarization is occurring between the second and third initiation, and at the second initiation we must achieve something he calls mental illumination and spiritual intelligence. So to raise the mental level of humanity and to raise it out of its focus only on the concrete mind is very important in order to restore to human... I'm sorry. To restore to human consciousness a sense of proportion. And out of that sense of proportion will come wiser living for the human being and wiser management of the energies which compose the man and which he has at his disposal. So we have to learn relationship to the other kingdoms. This sense of proportion will reveal to men their place upon the ladder of evolution and lead them to the recognition of the peculiar destiny and unique goals of other kingdoms in nature, including the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of God, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, in which those who are in the fourth grade of hierarchy find their place. In other words, we may change kingdoms, but we don't, when entering the fifth kingdom of nature, change creative hierarchies. Even when we enter the kingdom of planetary lives, which I presume happens at Chohanship, do we change our creative hierarchy? Creative hierarchies are one thing, and the kingdoms of nature are another. And there's a very interesting and complex interplay between them. And I've tried at various points to try to clarify that. I've had to clarify it for myself. And it's not totally clarified, but I won't go off on that. We members of the fourth grade of hierarchy have passed through the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, someplace, somehow. And when we pass through it, did that mean we are not members of the fourth grade of hierarchy? I think we still are, even though passing through those lower kingdoms, and that has some very interesting implications. The hierarchy is itself also at a point of spiritual crisis, and in our self-centered manner, we often forget that. Its initiates stand before the door, which leads to the way of the higher evolution, and the entire personnel of the hierarchy waits to make a united move forward, paralleling on its own level the move forward which humanity is also destined to make. So it's almost like an hierarchical initiation. And many of those who have chosen the path of earth service, well, they have chosen that, but it's not forever. And those members of the hierarchy who have chosen the path of earth service will eventually be released onto the path of the path which the Logos is on, the path of the solar logo. They fight their way onto that path, we're told later in this book. It's a very interesting idea. It's so important to hold before humanity the sense of its destiny, because its destiny is what gives it the incentive to move ahead with aspiration, with vigor, with persistence, with the necessary energy, and to conquer the obstacles. The vision is so utterly important and prevents us from these glamours fearfully induced of grasping on to our present point of revelation as if it was the last possible point. Some religions do this, you know. This is the last word. This is the latest religion. This is God's word for all time. We know that this is a huge illusion and very, very destructive, because it works against the sense of humility, which naturally comes when you realize where the human being stands upon the ladder of evolution. A very humbling realization, and sort of the inherent pride of the ignorant mind doesn't want to acknowledge that rather lowly state, the factual state of human present human progress. Anyway, let us remember the hierarchy's point of spiritual crisis. And this way of higher evolution, you know, it leads out to sacred planets and to other constellations, and eventually, I would say, back to the one about whom naught may be said, which we can, I think, reasonably center within the Pleiadian deity. And of course, that's just the beginning as well. Everything is just a beginning, at least at our stage, when you think about the possible destination of any rising life during this particular universe. But my brothers, and here is a point of interest, under the great law of synthetic expression, he does give different names, great law of synthetic expression, called by us the law of synthesis, the law governing the first divine aspect, the hierarchy must move forward in such a manner that the effort must encompass the physical plane as well as the higher planes. And, well, I take this as a great hint, a great hint for humanity as well, that we too cannot simply abstract into the higher spheres, but we must take the do our work upon the physical plane as well. The activity engineered must cover the three worlds of human evolution as well as the three worlds of the spiritual triad. Well, we cannot yet encompass the three worlds of the spiritual triad as can hierarchy, but we have our own to look above to help below, to look above to help below. It constantly expands as we rise. We have a lot of work to do on the physical plane. Maybe a lot of our work is psychological at this time. maybe we are not yet in a position to entirely regenerate the physical plane as the hierarchy is. They reach higher and they can reach lower. Anyway, the activity engineered must cover the three worlds of human evolution as well as the three worlds of the spiritual triad. Forget not the overlapping of these two worlds. It is kind of a correspondence, really, not a reflection, but a correspondence, which takes place upon the mental plane and warrants the well-known phrase, the five worlds of superhuman evolution. So, you know, atmic, buddhic, manasic, astral, and etheric physical planes constitute these five worlds of superhuman evolution. By the time we reach the monadic plane, we have transcended those five worlds. These five worlds are the worlds of Brahma from the solar systemic point of view. Hence, therefore, the necessity for the externalization of the hierarchy, if the three lower worlds are to be regenerated, and the demonstration of their united ability to work with the physical plane up to the highest in order to move unitedly through the door and onto this door, onto the way. Move unitedly. And I wonder if we are speaking of those, are we speaking of those members of the spiritual hierarchy who are presently on the path of Earth's service? Because they are here with the Earth and they have to work with the three lower planes, definitely, which are in sore need of regeneration. The cleansing of the Augean stables is imminent, and they are, well, in their own way, they're kind of Hercules. Hercules is usually the disciple, the triumphant disciple, but they are disciples to a still greater source, and so they have their own Herculean task to accomplish. Speaking symbolically, this externalization is for the members of the hierarchy an act of sacrificial service, but it is also a symbolic gesture, and I suppose we can learn from this gesture. It sounds like it is a necessity, but it sounds like it is a sacrificial necessity. I think those who undertake the path of Earth service, who are, as it were, tapped by Sanat Kumara for that particular role, and not so many are undertaking a very sacrificial path, because the opportunities offered for them are very few, in a way, compared with those who move on. And yet, after their term of service, they are able to fight their way onto the path of the solar logos, so there's always compensation. So an act of sacrificial service, even as, because they're working under Sanat Kumara, the great sacrifice, as is the Christ, and their sacrifice is less, but nonetheless a deferral of other spiritual possibilities which loom before them. And I suppose many of us, we just have to ask, are we willing to defer our own higher spiritual possibilities towards which we strive in order to work in the lower spheres when we might not have to any longer? This is a bodhisattvic choice. I think it is a sacrifice, and but as Master Moria said, and I always repeat, when have you ever become less through sacrifice? And so it is at once a sacrifice and a great opportunity for those who choose to remain. The hierarchy incarnates on Earth again, and for the first time since its last incarnation as a whole, right, in Atlantean days, you know, let's just say many members. It is, however, a group incarnation and not the incarnation of individual members. And when we talk about incarnation, we don't necessarily mean taking up a body in the usual way, a body produced by a generation. This is a body produced by Kriya Shakti. And this, he says, this is probably a subtle point too difficult for you to grasp. And in saying that, he encourages us to ponder on its nature. let's just say that there is a movement forward or downward of many members, and they are appearing in different ways and on different levels. It is, they are following a group incentive as they do this, and they are not taking up the kinds of incarnations that individual human beings do. It's a, let's just call it, you know, agreeing with the Tibetan that is probably too difficult for us to grasp. Let us call it group approach. Under the law of sacrifice, under the law of sacrifice as interpreted by those high beings, not the law of sacrifice as we would, and offering later great opportunity on the path of the Sola Dogoi, path of the Sola Dogoi. Okay. Well, we, you know, when the circle of hierarchy is drawn, opportunity, when the circle of hierarchy is drawn, and I see right now that I have somehow, I have a problem with my computer at the moment. It kind of wants to freeze, you know. But if I look at this and I look at the AAB diagrams, okay, and we'll bring that out as a diagram. Well, oh, being all too human, I seem to have forgotten what I was going to say. For the first time since his last incarnation in Atlantean days, it is, however, a group incarnation and not the incarnation of individual members. I was going to look at a particular chart. Maybe this chart. Yes, this is what I was going to say. If we look very closely at this, we shall see that even people on the probationary path, various grades of disciples and the initiates of 1, 2, 3, and 4 are included within hierarchy. They are included within the circle of hierarchy. So when DK discusses this sacrificial service and incarnation, we have to remember that in a sense, we all who are entering the fifth kingdom of nature are included within the circle of hierarchy, and we can begin to respond to this group incentive which animates the higher members of the hierarchy, and our incarnations can begin to be taken not only as individuals following individual desire, but this great group will and the incentive to follow this will. We can incarnate out of the will to serve as members of the hierarchy would serve. And that's a different thing from following our own individual desires. We begin to identify as hierarchy, even though at very low level, and it changes the motivation for our incarnation. And I think, you know, although, as DK says, there's more to this point than I can possibly grasp, I'm offering that thought, that we identifying as hierarchy on the lower levels begin to follow a path of incarnation which has to do with the approach of hierarchy and not just the fulfillment of our own desires. So we just have a little more in this program. He sort of sums it up by saying, the externalization of the hierarchy, therefore, and the restoration of the mysteries are not something done for humanity or simply carried out because men have earned a closer contact, have the right to some reward, or are now so spiritual that the hierarchy can can have a good and useful time helping them. So another decentralizing statement. I-Z-I-N-G. The picture is entirely different. What looms with such importance in the consciousness of men is, in reality, quite secondary in relation to the hierarchical crisis we are considering. Because hierarchy, too, is advancing and must face its challenges and the initiations which lie before it. And incidentally, men and the planet benefit from this. The reappearance upon the physical plane and the consequent life of service, involving factors of profound significance to men, are an expression of the inherent spiritual impulse, which is impelling hierarchical action in two directions, but involving one unified movement. These two directions, we might say, toward Shambhala and towards the lower three worlds, but involving one unified movement embracing all the five planes of superhuman evolution and necessitating a group recapitulation of incarnated process. Let's just say no member of the hierarchy personally needs to incarnate. No member of the spiritual hierarchy personally needs to reincarnate in the three lower worlds. But there was an approach of all humanity to the stage of individualization. All humanity together, or should we say all animal man together, approached this, becoming humanity. This is another and higher group approach, carrying out the will to serve, which is the Buddhic life of the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. It's a bodhisattvic impulse, especially for those who are members of the hierarchy who are on the path of Earth service. So let's call this the end of Rays and the Initiations webinar commentary program 3. Let's get the correct. And this would be pages, well, let's see, where are we right now? We are page 335. We are on page 335. And where do we begin? We began here, I believe, coming up, on page 331. Okay. So 335 to 331, or 331 to 335, and then beginning with Program 4, Rays and Initiations Webinar Commentary, Program 4, beginning 335. All right, friends, we have reached that point. Let us together sound the great invocation. I think that would be a good way to end this program, and then move on to program number 4. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Om. you, friends. We move on, continuing with this interesting introduction to part two of the rays and the initiations. See you for program number four.